Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm very excited about our guest today, and I know you are going to be too. I have Fran Meyer with me today, and Fran is the CEO and founder of BabyQuip, the leading baby gear rental service serving families traveling to over 900-plus locations in the United States, Canada, and beyond. She is super founder and brand builder with over 25 years of experience building B2C and B2B internet businesses. She is best known for her 10 plus years leading Trustee, now TrustArc, the leading privacy trust mark and compliance provider, and as the co-founder and first general manager of Match.com. It is my pleasure to welcome Fran to our show today.
Hi there, Belinda. Thank you for having me today. So excited to be on your podcast.
Yes, I'm excited that you're here too. Wow. It's so fun to have a powerful woman that is kind of leading the way with business. I absolutely love that so much.
Don't we all?
Yes. So tell us, let's start with BabyQuip. Let's start there and tell us a little bit about what you're doing today, how that began, and let's talk about that, and then we'll go back and dive into a little bit of your background.
Yeah. So, Belinda, are you a mom?
I am a mom of three. They're all grown, but I am a mom.
Do you remember trudging through the airport? Or trying to travel or thinking, I'm not going to do this trip because I can't stand having to deal with all that baby gear?
Absolutely. And I have grandkids now, so are still dealing with that when we all decide to take a trip together. So absolutely, the struggle's real.
Yeah. So let me tell you, I got into this kind of through, serendipity, the way that things happen. And in 2012, I left my last job at Trustee, and post-divorce, I moved from Alameda to San Francisco and bought a house on Potrero Hill, you know, blocks away from the new company, Airbnb. And within 6 months, I was renting rooms in my house on Airbnb. And then I even bought a house in Santa Fe, where I am now, which is my hometown, and put that on Airbnb and VRBO. And all of a sudden, I was now into hospitality. And it got me thinking, and also, I was making good money, right? So it made me think about, what are the new ways that people are traveling? What are the new ways that people are working? And what are the businesses that are going to emerge from these kinds of changes, right? Because I was living it. Right. And whenever there's change, there's opportunity for entrepreneurship. And at that point, and we're talking about 2012, 2013, there were a lot of companies looking, new property management companies or cleaning companies or laundry companies. But I met a gal here in Santa Fe who was doing baby gear rental. And I was amazed that Santa Fe is about 100,000 people and it is a destination, but it's not Anaheim. You know, and this was an area that no guys with hoodies were looking at. Okay. So as I looked at the environment, there was nobody who was building a brand across the country, nobody who was taking it on as a new business. And given the emergence of the gig economy, I really thought there was opportunity to really provide some opportunities for mostly moms to build a business on our platform. And so we launched it in May of 2016. And except for the pandemic, it's been up, up, and up.
Wow, that is so fantastic.
Families love us. I mean, you know, they tell us all the time, you saved our vacation. You came to the rescue. Because if the baby has the crib that they want, or the toy, or the toddlers have the toys to play with, and you have the stroller that you need, etc., everybody will sleep better and have a better vacation.
And car seats. That was the thing I always found difficult, leaving the airport. And then if you didn't want to travel with a car seat, is just getting a car seat when you get there.
Right. And and most parents know the car seats that they get from the car rental companies, you know, they don't necessarily have a lot of confidence in their cleaning and the safety mm-hmm. of it. Also, parents oftentimes want to have the car seat that they use at home mm-hmm. because, you know, it's almost a comic trope to show a dad or a mom try to put a car seat in.
Exactly. But they're so expensive at the car rental places.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, it all depends. But we meet people at the airport. We deliver. And, you know, to be fair, sometimes there's a surcharge because mm-hmm. airports are very difficult. But we meet people like at the call waiting stations or at the car rental places. We also deliver to vacation rentals. We deliver to hotels and boutiques and so on. And Belinda, we deliver to grandma's house. Absolutely. Wow. About 30% of our business is probably, we think, is grandparents who really want to make sure their children and their grandchildren have an excellent time and will come back again and again.
Wow. I hadn't really put it together in thinking of it in that terms because my grandchildren live, you know, 10 miles away. But when you're coming from another state or to visit, you need those things that you don't want to necessarily have in your home all of the time.
No, and Grant, you know, we have really really great what we call quality providers. These are the moms who own the gear and deliver it and pick it up and clean it, set it up. And they are great advisors to grandparents about, for example, what size car seat, mm-hmm. whether or not they need what kind of crib. You know, to really make sure that they get the guidance and get the things that the family wants.
Wow. What I love about this is I would think this is how people think, right? So, I need to start a business. And they put themselves at the place where they are in life at that moment. And yours was in association with the rental, but I'm guessing at that point, because knowing how long you've been in business and done other businesses, it's not like you have really young kids that was your challenge at that time.
No, but I remembered.
Yeah.
And as an Airbnb and VRBO host, I would have families come and I didn't want to carry the gear. I didn't want to buy a crib or strollers or pack and plays. And I didn't want to be liable for it. And I didn't want to have to be able to clean it and store it. So, you know, families, when they travel, need a lot of gear. If you're a VRBO or Airbnb host, rely on us. And, you know, our whole thing is about building a trusted brand. And in the baby gear category, that means clean, absolutely, mm-hmm. especially during the pandemic and after.
Right.
Safe, you know, mm-hmm. we can make sure that there's no products on our platform that are on any recall list or are somehow deemed unsafe, and we train our quality providers on clean and on safe. And not just once, but we have webinars and all kinds of things to make sure that they're up to date on what products to use, what things to use. For example, did you know you shouldn't use a steamer on car seats?
No, I didn't.
Well, we do. So that's good because some of the manufacturers think that could lessen the integrity of the car seat, and that's not a good thing. We also have insurance, liability insurance. So if something were to happen to a person, a baby's property, hopefully we have insurance that would help. Now, the good news is we haven't even ever had a claim. So we really deliver on clean and safe.
Wow. And that is... those are the two things that are the most important. So that's fantastic. So tell us a little bit. Let's now go sort of into their past a little bit and like your level of expertise and a little bit about yourself and about your history and what kind of led you to being in even the position to do a business like this.
You know, Belinda, I've been very fortunate and have had some exceptional opportunities. I grew up here in Santa Fe. I went to Stanford. I went to Stanford Business School. And I came out of Stanford Business School thinking I wanted to do marketing, that was sort of marketing and brand I thought were really interesting because it's not just about the tech. It's not just about the advertising. It's about everything that creates a product or an experience or service that people want to buy. And very enthusiastic about that. I worked at Clorox for a few years. But around 1993, I went to my business school reunion. Actually, I guess it was 94, my business school reunion, and the internet was just starting to emerge. And, you know, isn't it funny? You look at movies that are pre-1995, and they're different than movies since, right? Because people Yes. aren't looking at their computers and their phones all the time. And I just knew that this new internet thing was going to change the world, and I want to be part of it. And a classmate of mine invited me to join the founding team of Match.com. Actually, Match.com was part of a business called Electric Classifieds. It's just the part that succeeded. And so,
oh, wow.
So
okay.
I took on Match, and just like Baby Quip, you know, especially in 1995, the internet was so new. Actually, women weren't on the internet as much as men. That has thankfully changed. Mm-hmm. And I knew there that safety and, you know, this was going to be scary, but potentially better, right? And so we really focused on safety. Like we had, contrary to other dating sites, well, first of all, the biggest difference, the one that I really drove, was we really worked on trying to attract women. Because we kind of thought, well, if you could get the women, you could get the men. And typically, personals on newspapers and other places didn't really have that many women. So to get women, we knew it had to be safe. And we were first to have dating, you know, dating tips about meeting in public and things like that. We back then, anonymity was really important and privacy, right? Mm-hmm. And so we really delivered on that. And we also kind of made it fun. And, you know, we knew that there were certain things. Well, I'll just give you one example. I'm sure many of your listeners have gone on dating sites, and I can almost guarantee they've never had to put down their weight in pounds. And that's because of me. Okay. You know, the engineer comes in and goes, well, we're going to have 5 matching questions. This is before there were photos on the internet. One of them needs to be on weight. And I said, no way. We're not doing weight. We're going to do body type. And that's pretty much where it went. And that was one way that we, you know, looked at the business and said, what do women want? And what do they not want?
Right.
The other one was we had a membership model. I had worked at AAA for about a year, you know, the auto club. And I knew membership is powerful. And that turned out to be the dominant business model up until really very recently.
Wow.
And, you know, women would rather do have a membership and have a guy in a membership than you know, get paid 10 cents per contact, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So wow. We sold it in 1998 for way too little. I was not in charge of the sale. I doth protest. Had I had more confidence, I wish I had bought it or put together the investment team to buy it. But it's not just on me. I think had I been a guy, probably somebody would have told me, you know, or encouraged me in that direction. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lesson, you know. And of course, it's now a multi-billion-dollar company, and I get joy every day from meeting people who met on Match or online dating sites. So that's pretty exciting.
That is exciting. So, and I love that you look back and you go, oh, I wish I would have done this, woulda, coulda, shoulda, right? And we do that, but yet you can find extremely great joy from people that have lasting relationships that they've met in that way. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about everybody's got their superpowers and their sort of skill sets that stand out that have really helped them throughout whatever business it is that they're running. And what do you think you've identified as yours?
Yeah, I think we've already touched on it. I believe in building trusted brands.
Wow.
Right? Mm-hmm. Brands that really deliver on their promise, that are consistently delivered, that connect with the customer in the areas that they care about. And I think I've demonstrated that with both Match.com and Baby Quip. And it takes some work. You know, you have to decide what is it that you want to stand for. You have to know who your customer is and what do they really care about. You've really got to make delivering a brand, experience, service, product something that, that your whole team is dedicated to, because it's not just about the tagline. It's not just about the advertising. It's about the entire experience.
Wow. I think that you hit on a really big, big item that a lot of people don't give enough consideration to, and that is, who is your customer and what do they care about? Because at the end of the day, if you're not meeting that, it doesn't matter how great the product is or anything else. It's who's going to buy it, who's going to be attracted to it, who's going to talk about it, who's going to want it.
Yeah. And you'd be surprised at how many times companies do not really understand who their customer is.
I would and I wouldn't. So like, because I know in talking to people, they get so hyper-focused on how something works or how it's going to work better, but it might not necessarily be what the customer even needs or wants.
Right, right. Well, you know, so many times the entrepreneur is just trying to solve a problem that they have.
Absolutely.
It's and kind that, of funny.
And it generally is, at the end of the day, that is what makes for some of the best inventions, makes for some of the best solutions, companies, is you having an issue and then trying to solve that problem. It's always amazing.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a big enough problem, sometimes it's not. Well, I mean, I thought what was funny about BabyQuip or the baby gear rental is really nobody was kind of working that problem, you know? And what's exciting for me, I think, is that we focused on it. I think we were early enough that right now I think we're on our way to being the national brand, and it might be difficult for anybody to catch up.
Wow, I love that so much.
It's yes,
so true. You know, that is so true. I mean, look how many, it's always the first one is always, and if they do it right. So there is that sort of caveat in there, is that the first one to market and they did it right ends up being the one that people know, like even Match.com for that matter. There's been many, many dating sites that have followed that.
Yeah. And a lot of them are owned by Match.com too. Yeah, but it took a while for some other ones to emerge, and it took, you know, the ones that emerged later were maybe the focus on particular communities, like religious or ethnicity,
sure.
or new technology like Tinder.
Right.
Right. But, you know, I'm always fascinated still following Match. And Match, actually, BabyQuip reminds me the most of Match. Except for this time, I'm absolutely the CEO. I get to call the shots. And it reminds me of Match because we're so early. We're solving a real problem that families have. And we're really connecting with people, I think, on an emotional level.
Absolutely. Because it's something that's really important to them.
Meaningful to them. Yeah,
yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So and this generation of parents. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go right ahead.
This generation of parents, millennial parents. They're all about experiences. They're all about getting the great photos. And when they have kids, they don't want to stop that. They want to continue to travel and make memories and great Instagram posts.
You are so right. It is about, they still want to have those experiences and they want to have those memories, but it is about making good posts. I mean, I see them all the time. They're always like, oh, put that over there. Oh, here, put this here. I'm just always makes me laugh
so
hard.
Better than we were, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We're still like, oh, let me take your picture. They're like, oh no, stand over here. Put that over there. Do this. My daughter is, she's 18. She's right there with it. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So what is then, we'll do these kind of quick. Obviously you've got a couple here under your belt, but greatest accomplishment.
Oh, from the business standpoint, certainly Match, making that the leading brand. Second, I turned my last company trustee from nonprofit to a for-profit and raised about $10 million venture capital to do that. That was a good one. And the success, getting back and succeeding after the pandemic is really, you know, there was a moment there that I thought, I'm not sure we can make it, you know. And having that behind us and emerging even ahead of it is really, really great. So I've got this big startup founder bingo card. And, you know, I've checked a few boxes on that thing.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Shark Tank was great fun, too.
You were on Shark Tank?
We were on, you know what, date we were on Shark Tank? It's,
what?
It'll kill you. March 6, 2020.
Oh.
And just so everybody knows, that's about the time the pandemic shut down California within a couple of days and most of the country within a week. And instead of getting all these orders that we were prepared to get, all we got were cancellations. I mean, it was like, it went from high to low so darn fast. But
wow.
Still, it was a great experience. And our CTO, Joe, is also my son. So I got to go on Shark Tank with my son.
So did they invest in your idea?
No, we went back and forth with Mr. Wonderful. In the end, it was a low ball offer. So I declined it. But I do have aspirations to be one of the Shark Tank companies that they didn't invest in that really succeeded.
Oh, I'd love that for sure.
That's even sweeter, right?
I think it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow, I love that story. So then one of your greater challenges, I'm sure you've had so many challenges and obstacles along the way, but people love a good story about like, wow, here was one that we really faced and then how you worked your way through it.
Well, you know, I do. And I've had a lot of experience, but I think the pandemic, I mean, here I was personally having about 5 rental properties and then professionally running BabyQuip and boom, everything stops. I mean, it hit me in the gut, right? And and I know I'm not alone in this. A lot of people, we all went through something that I don't even think we have the perspective yet to fully understand. But I do feel that we did a good job getting through it. So we, you know, cut back spending. Mm-hmm. My whole team took some pay cuts, and I'm very thankful to them even now. I was lucky enough that I had raised some money beforehand, so we had some room to maneuver. And then, you know, first time in my life, we got government money. That was kind of amazing. So we made some good decisions. We kept up our social media. We kept up our quality standards. We bought a cleaning business because we thought our quality providers, who are always cleaning baby gear, might be willing to clean baby gear for their local families, right?
Mm-hmm.
So mostly car seats and high chairs and strollers. And that worked pretty well. And it showed our community of quality providers that we were invested in their success. And that was an important message to get out. So, and then starting about February of 2021, starting mostly in Florida, to be honest, things started to tick up. And except for a little bit of a wiggle around August of last year with Delta and Omicron, we keep on growing. It's amazing. Probably
wow.
We'll do close to 8,000 orders this month.
Wow, that is so fantastic.
Yeah, kind of exciting.
It's very exciting. And I do think you're right about the pandemic. It hit lots of people in different ways. And I think that some people haven't figured out completely how to maneuver that with wanting it to come back to the way it was. There's a grieving process in that is like, okay, it's not coming back to that. So now I have to do something different.
Yeah, no, there's definitely a new normal. I mean, my team was already all remote. You know, we have people from Los Angeles to Nantucket, Florida to, well, let me guess, Iowa. And, you know, so we were kind of in a good position to deal with that. Plus, we don't own any of the baby gear. That's all owned by the moms on the platform. And they're very smart about figuring out how much inventory they need for their market and what kind of, you know, car seats, high chairs, strollers they need. And we were able to get through it together.
Wow, that is fantastic. So this is our sort of signature question of the show, and that is, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think working from my happy place means that the team around me are all doing what they need to do and are doing it without me telling them exactly how to do every single thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's about having great people around you who are very focused on their task, on their things that they need to do, and that I don't need to micromanage how they do it. And because they get that freedom to think a little bit more broadly, and that doesn't mean I won't coach them, or certainly I'll get on the phone and make some suggestions, or what, or the Zoom as you have it. But that we're all just working together towards, you know, goals that we've agreed to, and solving the problem.
You know, you bring up a really, really great, interesting point there. And that's how I feel about my sort of my happy place. Like, I love serving others, and that's the greater big. But it's like the teams that I've had over the years, and I didn't even realize that it had happened. I've always had very independent teams, and I don't know if I've just been drawn to hire people that or empower people in that way. And I was very frustrated when people, I want to give them the ownership, but they don't take it. And that's a different issue to where you're constantly going, okay, well, who's got an idea? Like, to that brainstorming, that ownership, that run with it. Right. And all you have to do is kind of just say, wow, this is great. Let's come together and see how everybody's working together for the same goal, like you said. And that's just a different sort of, so it's like, which comes first? Is it a culture that you create, or is it being lucky to find the right people?
Again, this is my fifth startup.
Uh-huh.
And I've learned a lot of lessons over the years. And I feel like probably my happy place with BabyQuip is I'm bringing a lot of those to bear on this opportunity. And part of it for us, I think, is we all get that, you know, we're a two-sided marketplace, and one side is the parents, and having a great vacation and time with family is a really good value. Mm-hmm. But also, we've got these it's about 1,100 quality providers. These are mostly moms. They weren't in the baby gear rental business before us. Some were, but vast majority weren't. And we're giving them an opportunity to make some real money, and that makes a difference to their families as well. And we're teaching them not just about baby gear, but about social media, how to sign up hotels and vacation rentals, how to have a Google My Business page. You know, we're teaching them really good stuff that I expect many of them will use in other parts of their life. When I need motivation, we have a private community on Facebook where they share, you know, today's Prime Day, right? So everything's on what kind of gear can I get at a good price, right?
Yeah.
But it could be talking about a great experience with a customer, maybe a big tip that they got, or it could be asking, hey, I have this issue, how would you solve it? They can even transfer orders from one another to help them. And we really have focused very deliberately on making a culture of collaboration and community and family first. And again, it's not too far from how you build a brand is how you build a company. You know, you mm-hmm. want to have good values.
Yeah.
And then you attract the people who want to buy into that, and that helps. I've also learned over the years, you know, you don't want people on a team that deplete you.
Yes.
You don't want people in your life that deplete you, for that matter.
That's absolutely right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And learning that can be a hard lesson.
Very difficult, especially when it's people in your life that either have to be in your life, right?
Right.
Or people that, you know, you knew from a long time ago that it's just, you know, it's just kind of time to let go of, at least on any regular basis, or learning how to navigate that so that it's not depleting you.
Yeah, but when you have people who buoy you and support you, everything's different.
100%. Wow, this has been such an awesome conversation. So what advice then would you give to others? Since you've done it now numerous times, but they're looking at a startup and they have an idea and they're ready to go. What advice would you give to them?
Well, I'm going to aim my comments mostly to women.
Okay.
Because it's difficult. You know, women only get something like 7% of the venture capital money, but women in terms of running small businesses do it all the time. And I would say that, you know, if you're going after and developing a product for women or for family, be confident that you know what you're doing, okay? I mean, we know what families need. We know what women need. And try and have that confidence as you approach solving your problem. I'm not saying misplace confidence. Don't be arrogant. Don't be, you know, don't think that you know something that you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But do have that confidence. If I had had more confidence back in the early part of my career, I would have taken Match at least to the next level, you know. So a year after we sold it for less than $8 million, it was bought by Barry Diller for $70 million or thereabouts.
Okay? Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Right. I got nothing out of that. Right.
Right.
So had I had more confidence, had I had more people who supported me around me, that would have made a big difference. So, you know, be confident in your vision, go after it, get the people around you who believe in you and believe in it, and work the problem.
Wow. That's great advice. So any new and exciting things on the horizon that our listeners might benefit from?
Well, I can say that we have a promo. How's that?
That's fantastic.
Okay. So if you go to babyquip.com and you have put in the code Happy Place, which makes sense, Happy Place, mm-hmm. you could get $30 off any reservation of $150 or more.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you so much.
So hopefully your audience will be able to take advantage of Baby Quip during their holiday travel or summer travel.
Well, I certainly do hope so. And this has been absolutely delightful, Fran. Thank you so much.
For me too. Thank you, Belinda.
Yes, for sharing your wisdom and expertise and insightfulness. And I do think as women, we do, I think that is that, just knowing what you know. Like a lot of women will say their gut instinct, you know, and it's that confidence that you have deep within you to know that you can do something or what you're doing is on the right path.
You know, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me since I've been doing Baby Quip and said that they thought about doing it too. It's like, well, you should have done it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that so much. Oh, well, thanks once again, Fran, so much. You've been just what an inspiration to for especially for women out there wanting to start their own businesses. And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us. We know you have a choice of where to spend your time, and we're so glad that you chose to spend it with us today. And the greatest form of compliment that you can give us is to share this with a friend. Don't forget to follow up or subscribe so you don't miss a single great episode. And we will see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.